little show and tell that I'm going to do this morning. I just picked up, rather randomly, from my office, three mementos. One I picked up, this says VBS 87. This is a rock painted gold. It was painted by my son, VBS. He would have been 6 years old at that time. But what this rock actually reminds me of is the young man who led the VBS in our church at that time. He was in his early 20s, and he was so interested, focused on going to the mission field and serving children in Italy. And eventually he fulfilled that. Sadly, a couple of years ago, he passed away from health issues. And so when I see that, I think of victory, I think of challenges, I think of faithful service. Or this was another thing that I picked up. You can't see it, but inside is those laser-printed designs. And this probably won't surprise you. It's the World Trade Center in New York. That's pretty about all much I'll need to say about that, right? We all remember that horrible day and still remembering the effects of that. Something else I picked up in my office. If you've ever visited my hometown in Hartland, New Brunswick, this is the longest covered bridge in the world. That's our claim to fame. But what I remember about it is walking across it every couple of weeks to get my hair cut. I had five older brothers who would hold me over it, over the side above the water. And to this day, I'm afraid of water. I give them the credit for that. So, mementos. And I would guess, as a matter of fact, one of the reasons I like visiting your home is you probably have mementos in your home or your office or your car somewhere. Little things that remind you of experiences through life. We like mementos. We like mementos because remembering is important. Remembering, and remembering well, I'm going to define that a little later. Remembering well is important. It's important to us. It brings certain values to our life, an understanding of who we are and why we're here and where we're going. It does something for us personally. It does something for our bigger group. There are mementos in this building of how God has blessed through the years and worked through this church. And there are mementos in our nation that reminds us of what it means to be Canada. There are many different mementos that help us to understand who we are and help us to come together cohesively as a group. Remembering is important. As a matter of fact, remembering and remembering well is important for good psychological health. You ever read stories about people who have amnesia, they've been in a car accident or something, and they forget everything. They don't even remember their own names. How horrible that is, how it messes with them. Our psychological health is tied to remembering well. Well, this morning I want to go one step further and say our spiritual health is also tied to remembering well. Our spiritual health is tied to remembering well. Remembering is essential to our Christian faith. This is evident throughout the Bible. You look back through the stories of the Old and the New Testament, you see example after example about remembering. Mementos. One of the first mementos I think of, you go back farther than this, but one that pops to my mind is the rainbow that God gave to Noah, still to us today, to remind us of his faithfulness. Or the memento of circumcision that he gave to Abraham. We're going to talk a little bit about the memento of the Passover celebration, which is a remembrance of the Exodus, God's deliverance of his people from slavery. Throughout the Old Testament, you read about sacrificial animals, various holy feasts and holidays, and many, many monuments throughout the Old Testament about remembering. When we come to the New Testament, there are two kind of key monuments that are physical, but they're not physical, and it's these two things that you're well aware of this morning. One is baptism. The ordinance of being baptized as a believer is also a memento, a reminder of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And then, of course, this morning we come together to another key remembering, another key memento for us as Christians, and that is the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So as I was thinking about the fact that we would come to the table this morning to remember the death of our Savior, to remember his grace, to remember our salvation, I begin to think about remembering itself. What is that all about? Why is it so important? Why do we need to remember? What do we need to remember? And how can we remember well? Let's think about that for a few moments. First of all, why? Why do we need to remember? You know, there are some people who say remembering is a terrible thing. We should just put the past behind us and always move forward, never look back. I don't subscribe to that. The Bible doesn't subscribe to that. There is a reason for looking back, and we'll talk a bit about that as we go along. But there are a number of good reasons why we need to remember, and one of them is because we have selective memories. You know, they say that we really never forget anything. That our brain has the capacity to hold every experience we've ever experienced in our lives. Everything we've done, everywhere we've been, everything that's happened to us, every word that's been spoken to us is somehow encoded in our brain. By God's grace, we can't remember it all because we would be overwhelmed. But sometimes we're rather selective about our memories also, aren't we? And when we're selective about our memories, and by that I mean when we don't remember things well, honestly, accurately, soundly, we can distort the lessons learned from the past, and then we can apply them poorly to our present. I think our Creator well knew about our propensity to remember poorly, to have selective memories. And so, as we've seen over and over again throughout the Bible, we are directed to make memorials of key events and experiences related to our faith. One of them you know as the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12 and 13, as God's people are preparing to leave Egypt, you remember they've been slaves there for something like 400 years, and God is now delivering them. You know, no doubt, that story well. It was commemorated in something that became to be known as the Passover, which Jewish people still remember, and we remember as Christians. But I wanted to read a passage from Exodus 13. Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you come out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. On that day, tell your son, 'I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand." This memory of God's miraculous deliverance has for centuries carried both Jews and Christian believers through many times of trial and testing. Just one powerful example of the importance of remembering and remembering well. We need to remember because we have selective memories. We need to remember also because we need to be reminded of our blessings. We need to be reminded of our blessings. I don't need to tell you this morning, the disappointments and struggles of life can fill us with bitterness and with despair. Daily, we need to count our blessings. But what exactly does that mean, to count our blessings? I think to be thankful means going beyond simply being happy that we benefit from the good things of life. If that is as far as our thankfulness goes, then what we're really thankful for is being rich. We're thankful we're rich. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, "You must not know me because I'm not rich." I'm certainly not rich. But if you know the global situation, you know that the poorest person in Canada is richer than almost everybody else on the face of the earth. Right? We're rich in that sense. We enjoy benefits that most of the world can only dream of. And we're thankful for those things. But our thankfulness should go a little further. Let me tell you what I mean by that. You know that we lived for a few years in the country of Bangladesh. You probably know, if you know anything at all about Bangladesh, you know it's extremely, extremely poor. One of the poorest nations, not the poorest, but one of the poorest nations on the face of the earth. It was our first experience in coming face to face with dire poverty. with true extreme poverty, suffering beyond anything we could have imagined. And as I looked at these people, I wondered, it's so easy for me to give thanks because I have so much. But what about those who have nothing? You know, there are, you think of Bangladesh as a Muslim country, and it is primarily, but there are millions of Christians in Bangladesh. And I saw many of them going to their churches, very, very simple buildings, if any building at all, and praising God, just like we did here this morning. Singing songs of thanksgiving and praise, rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks to God. And it illustrated to me something I think I've always known, and it's this. That thanksgiving must go beyond just saying thank you that I benefit from all the good things of life. It must go to saying thank you, God, that you are God. Because he's the source of the blessing, isn't he? Which means this. If all the benefits should go away, and we pray to God they don't, but if all the benefits should go away, I would still be thankful. So we need to count our blessings, be thankful for God. That's why we need to remember. And we need to remember because remembering well spurs us on to serve God and to do good. At the table, we give thanks for the blessings of Jesus as our Savior and Redeemer, even when the times are hard or benefits are limited. And at the table, we remember what Jesus has done for us. Paul puts it this way, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Paul said, when you remember, when you think about, when you meditate on the mercies of God, it will spur you on to giving your heart and your life to him. That's a part of what this is about. As we come to the table, we remember his sacrifice. We remember that he was all in, and that spurs us to be all in with God, with Jesus. This moves us forward. Remembering well moves us forward. So we need to remember because we have selective memories. We need to remember because we need to be reminded of our blessings. We need to remember to spur us on, to serve God, and to do good. We need to remember. But that brings up an obvious second question is this. What do we need to remember? What do we need to remember? What do we as Christians need to remember? Well, there are many things we could say. But I just want to make some general comments. But I think it begins here. Above all, we need to remember God's character. Who is God? Who is the one true God of the Scriptures? Who is God? Because everything else that we believe about our faith, everything that we believe about the experience of our faith, all proceeds from how we understand God. And I think that one of the most important things that we can learn, one of the most important things we can teach our children, is who God is, according to the Bible, who God is. Because if you're not sound on that, you'll be in trouble with all the other things, right? So it begins with this. Let's remember who God is. Let's remember his character. Let me just give you examples of how that affects how we understand him and how we experience him. For example, since I know that God is creator, since I know that he is alive, that he is personal, and that he is the Almighty God, I therefore believe that God hears and answers prayer, and he cares for me. That conviction proceeds from my understanding of who God is. Since I know that God is love, as the Bible teaches us, then I believe that he loves me and that he loves the world. Since I know that God, the one true God of the Bible, is good and just and pure and holy, I believe that he will treat me kindly and he will treat me justly. Everything we believe about how we experience God, how we live out what we call the Christian life, is founded on how we see God. So first and foremost, we need to get that clear in our minds. And it's more than just a Sunday school class for 10-year-olds. but it's something we have to keep doing over and over and over again. Reminding ourselves, who is God? So I need to remember God's character. And from that, of course, among other things, I need to remember his faithfulness. The Passover that I made reference to earlier, celebrated by Jews and Christians as in this form, for generations builds and reinforces our faith because it's a continual reminder of God's faithfulness to his own. And our very hope is built upon the assurance that God is faithful. We need to remember God's grace. God's grace. Grace is undeserved favor. Another word is mercy. We need to remember God's grace, his undeserved favor, his mercy. His mercy, his grace, his undeserved favor enables me and you as believers in Christ to come to the table without guilt or fear. Because we stand before him, not in ourselves, we stand before him in him. And his grace, and his love, and his mercy, and therefore we can come before him this morning. We need to remember God's character, his faithfulness, his grace, and we need to remember God's promises. God's promises. This is, I realized this week once again, that this is promise season in North America. Promise season. What am I talking about? Sadly, we have a double whammy in North America. We're doing federal elections on both sides of the border. Well, actually, the federal election in the U.S., as you know, is next year. But having lived there for 20 years, actually, they're continually having elections. So it's always election year in the United States, actually. But unfortunately, we're doing the same thing here in Canada because we have to do it occasionally. So I call it promise season. You know what I'm getting at there, right? All kinds of promises. They're flying at us so fast, we can't even keep up. All the promises. But I think of all of us here are mature enough to know that promises don't mean anything. What really means something is performance, right? It's not really about the promise. Anybody can make any promise. But it's the performance that counts. We know that in our lives. We know that in our experiences. And it certainly is true with God's promises. God makes all kinds of promises to you and me. The Bible is filled with promises from God. But we know today, because we know who God is, by his grace, that we can stand and rest on the promises of God. Because it is, as the pastor put it in Hebrews 6:18, impossible for God to lie. He is God, and we can trust him. This gives me a chance to quote another favorite Old Testament scripture of mine from Numbers 23 and verse 19. And I like to quote it from the King James Version. It says this, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I can trust God. Why? Because he's not man. Because he's God. He can't lie. It's who he is. I can trust his promises. I need to be reminded of God's character, of his faithfulness, of his grace, and of his promises, or the performance of his promises. But now, just for a moment, let's think about how to remember well. To remember well. By remembering well, I mean remembering clearly, accurately, and honestly. That's a great challenge, isn't it? It's so easy for us to retell the past in the way that we want to hear it or think of it or apply it. So easy for us to twist the past. We struggle with that all the time in our lives, don't we? But to remember well means to be clear about it, accurately about it, and honest about our memories. And I think this absolutely applies to our remembrance of God. We want to remember him clearly, accurately, and honestly. How do we do that? Let me suggest a couple of ways. First, I think it begins here. We have to read, study, and receive the Word of God. You see, the Bible is God's self-revelation. I could not know God, unaided, if God had not chosen by his grace to reveal himself to me, a little bit of himself to me, through his word, I could not know him. His word, we believe, is inspired, that is, directed by the Holy Spirit, and given to us from God himself. All scripture is God-breathed, is how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 3 and 16. We use the word inspired there. All scripture is God-breathed. It is God's word. If I want to know him, I must know his word. I must know his word. And how can I know his word? Only through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Which means that simply sitting in a sermon or attending a Bible study in itself will not help me to know the word. But I also need to be filled with his Spirit so that his Spirit will open my mind and my heart and my spirit to understand what he is saying. What he is saying to me. What he's saying about who he is. To remember well, we have to go to the Word of God. It's as simple as that. We have to go to the Word of God. To read it, study it, receive it, believe it, and God will begin to reveal himself to us. And to remember God well, to remember our faith well, we need to worship faithfully. Sincere worship helps us to remember well, because sincere worship, genuine worship, brings us face to face with God. Worship is an encounter with God. We can worship privately, we worship corporately together, but it must always be defined as an encounter with God. I have truly worshiped when I feel like I have in some way met with God. I've heard from God, I've experienced him, I've learned about him, I've grown in him, whatever it might be. To worship God brings us face to face with him. You remember Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well in John 4? And how she was confused about worship. Where should we worship? How should we worship? And he said, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. In truth. Which means remember me well. See me as I truly am. True worship enables us to do that. And worship is largely a corporate experience. Now, we can worship privately. I'm sure you do. I do. We read stories in the New Testament of Jesus worshiping privately. But generally, when we think of worship in the Bible and through history, it's something we do with other believers. Maybe just one other believer, maybe 10 other believers, maybe 100, maybe 1,000. But it's very often a corporate experience. And it's meant to be. Paul said to Timothy, Paul instructs us to correct, to rebuke, and encourage each other with great patience and careful instruction. In corporate worship, we will not allow each other false or defeating memories. Let me say that again. In genuine worship, spirit-inspired worship, we will not allow each other to follow false or defeating memories. We will hold each other accountable to remembering well. Christian worship is timeless. Christian worship is an attitude and an activity that ties us to all who've gone before and connects us to our future hope and our future home, giving us a sound basis for remembering well. And that's what the Lord's Supper is about. The Lord's Supper is about looking back. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done to win your salvation. But it's also about looking forward, because Jesus said, when you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as we look back, we're looking forward to our hope, forward to our victory in Christ because of his death and his resurrection. As we come to the table, we have this opportunity to remember well. Will you join me at the table and let's remember well? Father, thank you. Thank you for this simple ceremony. The bread and the cup, so simple, so mundane, and yet imbued with power when we understand what it means for us. What it means for us personally, what it means for us as your people, the church, and indeed what it means for the world, for the universe, for all ages. Father, help us to remember you well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.